All right. So really quickly, if you're wondering why we're here doing this thing right now, it's basically that Adam and I obviously are just starting our journey with the Almanac here in the next couple of days, really, you know, right when January kicks off. And we wanted to get together with all of our favorite friends in this little movie podcast community we've built over the last couple of years. And so over the next couple of hours, we're going to have a whole bunch of different people popping in, popping out, you know, just kind of sharing in each other's success, because everyone else's channels have grown exponentially. And, you know, Adam and I have been lucky to be a part of it with you guys. And we're looking forward to having a lot of you on as guests through the next, you know, 12 to 24 months. So, you know, let's jump right into it. Dana, Tom from Greatest Movie of All Time podcast.
All right.
This is Adam St. John. Oh, and two Adams at the exact same time. How's that going to happen?
What's up?
We split the Adam.
If we did split the Adam, that's great. All right, well, guys, we're just kicking everything off right now. We're live on YouTube. As I was telling Dana and Tom, this is really just a chance for us to get together with a bunch of people that we've kind of grown close to in the podcast community and kind of celebrate each other's success over the next couple hours and look forward to what's coming in 2024. Good to see y'all. Adam, I must say I've admired you from afar, and it's nice to see you face-to-face for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, other Adam.
And Adam, my Adam, I should say. Good to see you as well, bud.
He was here first, so I'm other Adam.
Other Adam. Well, we hadn't even really jumped into anything yet, but I do want to really quickly, while I've got Dana and Tom here. Dana, I know you've got some exciting podcast news on the way, so I wanted to kind of let you have a minute to talk about the upcoming podcast that I know you've got coming, because I'm dying to hear about it.
Oh, we're putting you on the spot.
I'm putting him on the spot.
Your JFK pod.
You mean my passion project?
Yeah, I wanted you to plug it right away. I'm a JFK nut, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well,
we've moved it back. Sorry.
I'm going to be putting together and starting for this fall a podcast for on the JFK assassination. There are tons of them out there, but I'm going to give it my little wrinkle, which is I spent 17 years as a criminal defense attorney. So I'm going to look at it as having the evidence and going through the evidence and trying to piece together what the evidence would show and how it would go about if you were representing Lee Harvey Oswald, and whether or not the evidence would be sufficient to gain a conviction and what kind of impeachment evidence you could have available. And so that's what's going to be done. Multiple parts. Don't know exactly how many, but I was born on November 27th, 1963. And so 5 days after the assassination. And when I was in third grade, we had to go to the school library. And I know this is going to date me, and you guys have no clue what I'm talking about. But magazines used to be in the libraries, and they would send them out, and they would have them bound. And
we're not all like Adam over here.
Yeah, hold on. There we go. That's my question.
Well, we had to look at Time, Newsweek, or Life magazine, find an article close to when we were born, and write about it. So I pulled out Life magazine. And, of course, what is on November 28th, 1963, but clips from the Zapruder film. And so that started me from about the age of 8, and I'm 60 now. So 52 years of researching and reading about the Kennedy assassination, which is the greatest murder mystery of all time. And the mystery that will probably never be completely resolved, although most of us have a good idea of what took place and kind of who was involved, but I'm not going to give away too much, but that's kind of where I'm going with it. So I've been listening to several good ones so far. Now Rob Reiner's got his out, and I've been listening to that. we're not going to be nearly as polished and professional as Rob Reiner and Soledad O'Brien, but I think I'll be a little more informative, actually, than Rob kind of has made certain conclusions and kind of, and if you don't know the complete story and the evidence, I think it's hard to follow his podcast a bit. But
do you have a date for when you're going to start it?
Well, we're going to do the teaser. When is that, Tom? In September. We pushed it back because I looked at my schedule and I realized I had tons of half-finished projects that I really should try to hammer out before I started delving into this on a real deep basis and spending the time. So,
So we're doing JFK the movie, and that'll first be released, or at least part one will be on September 11th. And then we're recording part two the same day, which will be the following week, which will be kind of his soft launch, if you will, where we might just throw it up on the feed and take a week off or something like that and give the entrance point. But I will say, since we're on the live feed and for all those potential fans out there, we may need voice actors for different characters on the witness stand.
I mean, we've got somebody in the room right here who does theater work. So if you ever need somebody, Adam, I'm sure you've got some impressions up your sleeve.
Oh, impressions? We should not confuse impressions with acting. It's just a totally, totally different world.
Okay.
Have you ever done voice acting?
I did a little when I was in grad school, but nothing recognizable. I've done like commercial stuff when I was in Seattle, but nothing, no voiceover stuff. It's not a world I ever got into.
Now, I also want to ask really quickly, you know, we started the celebration off, and it would be unbecoming of me if I didn't kind of tip my hat to the BPC crew and go around the horn. What's everybody drinking tonight? Tom, Rick, our lone non-drinker in the room, I think, is Adam over there.
Oh, I was already disappointed when I heard him cracking it open.
Tom, yeah. Tom, you're drinking some Wisconsin Best up there, right?
Yes, New Glarus's Spotted Cow that you can only get in Wisconsin. If it is sold outside of the state, they will sue you.
Seriously. And
there was a bar in Minnesota that tried to have it on tap, and they sued them.
Yep.
Dana, what are you drinking up there tonight? Anything?
Oh, yes. I've got a glass of bourbon. I'm sampling something that was given to me, Milam and Green, single barrel bourbon, 96 proof.
Is that one of Eric's bottles, or is that one of the ones you got for your birthday?
No, this is one of my inherited bottles. This is actually out of Blanco, Texas. So, okay.
And Adam St. John, how about you? What are you drinking tonight?
I took something out of my wife's Christmas gift basket. So I am drinking a Merlot from California, apparently from Blakemore. Never had it before. I can't say I strongly recommend it. Can't say I'm a big Merlot fan in general, but it's in the house. And my wife doesn't drink red wine, so I'll be drinking this.
There wasn't Pinot Noir available.
Can we hear? Can you guys hear me?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So Kieran, hold on. You couldn't have come at a better time.
Good. I want to publicly apologize for this fucking Rangers thing hanging up in the background. I don't endorse that. In fact, I'm taking it down right now.
Yeah.
There's no hat on the dick.
Yeah, well, this has been hanging for probably a decade. The man who hung it isn't even alive anymore. So I'll put it back when I'm done. Rest in peace. But yes, go down. I'm not going to have Rangers.
Yes, it does offend my penguin sensibilities, but that's all right.
Kieran, we were just going around the horn and teeing off what everybody's drinking out of respect to the BPC crew.
Okay.
How about yourself tonight?
A sour here. It's looking very colorful, as you can see. It's from the Keg and Lantern Brewery, which I believe is Brooklyn, Brooklyn, or might be Manhattan, but it's a nice. It's called the Jazz Chicken Sour. So,
are you generally a sour beer kind of guy?
I am. I am indeed. Yes, I try to get my beer to be as colorful as Andrew Korn's shirt. That's my goal in the game. Yeah. Yes. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm a sour man myself. I definitely kept it local here. I've got St. Louis's own Four Hands Brewing Company. Definitely our go-to brewer here in town. Got a little winter IPA that is really hitting the spot tonight.
Didn't go with the Budweiser.
Very nice.
Man.
No, come on. Budweiser, that's too on the nose.
Yeah.
That'd be like you're drinking a Miller Lite, right?
Right. Okay, so I don't know how long we're going to have everybody in here tonight, but I do want to go over to Adam St. John really quickly because if you've been paying attention to his Twitter, the 1001 Twitter, they've been doing a little bit of this series that has captivated me, and I'm curious. I'm going to put Adam on the spot. He's been kind of letting people know what movies fucking rip, as he would define it, and I just want to see if Adam's got any movies off the top of his head that have fucking ripped lately.
You know, I really don't even know why I started doing that. I'm pretty excited. I'm teaching the film class at the university in the spring. So I've been going through the book I'm teaching from and I'm watching some of the movies I'm going to cover in the class. And so I was watching the Godfather trilogy again a couple weeks ago. And
is it a trilogy?
I mean, what?
There's a trilogy. I don't remember there being a third.
Yeah, I watched the re-edited third one, the death of Michael Corleone. Didn't make it any better. But yeah, I felt like I had to actually watch them all. But I got to the scene, you know, where Michael kills Sollozzo and McCluskey in the bar, and I just was like, God damn. This 1972 and this movie just like it sings like it could have been made last year. And so I don't know, I had my phone on me. I was like, hey, you know what movie still fucking rips? Because it does, because it's still a great movie. And then so then I did it again for Godfather 2. If I don't know if you noticed, didn't do it for Godfather Part 3 because it doesn't rip.
No.
So I honestly have no idea. I can't even say that this is something that Joey and Britt endorse. It's just something that I'm doing because I'm on break and because I partake in a movie in the evening. And if it rips, I'll tell people about it.
So if you had to pick one 2023 release that fucking rips, what's the one for you?
Oh, okay. So my older answer to this would have been John Wick 4, because that movie fucking rips. But, and this might be divisive, but I not in like an awards contention kind of way, but I really, really liked Leave the World Behind. That was on Netflix. I dug it for what it was, and I'm sure people fucking hated that ending. I was not one of them. I loved it to pieces. So I, in terms of using that terminology, the last movie I saw that fucking ripped, I would say was Leave the World Behind.
It's funny you mention that because Joey and I just happened to be watching that at the exact same time and we're texting each other, and he actually called the ending like 30 minutes into the movie. And he's like, I'm going to freaking hate this ending if it happens. And sure enough, it did. And I'm with you though. I had a good time with it. What about anyone else? Does anyone have a 2023 movie that fucking ripped to them?
I think as far as the most recent goes, my answer is going to be the same as Adam Hitchcock over there. So maybe I'll let him go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll let him go.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah.
Very good film.
Going on Tuesday.
It's coming to get you. It's coming to get you. Oh, no, not the claw. Yes. Hell yes.
Is it just because Zac Efron just kills it, or is it?
Not at all. Not at all. No. Wasn't my favorite part of the movie. Loved it. Thinks he should be up for an Oscar, but wasn't my favorite part of the movie. Holt, his last name I'm not sure, but he's Tench on Mindhunters. He plays the dad in it. He was the MVP of the movie for me, man. But the movie's just awesome. It's such a dark story. They actually made it less dark than it is in real life. There's like a another brother in there that they just like cut out of it. It was great. And I'm a wrestling fan, I always like a little extra appreciation to the art. So, dug it, man. Dug it. It's good. It seems like it's going to get cut out of the Oscar picture this year just for a number of reasons. John Ray came a little late to the game. Who knows how this stuff works, but I hope everyone goes and sees it. It's sad.
Karen,
very sad. Very sad. Yeah.
Would you, because I saw it last week. Do you think that Iron Claw is this year's Mass?
Oh, yes. Yes. Nailed it. Great, great analogy there. I don't think it's, I hope it's not going to get completely shut out, but you might be right. You might be right. It might get completely shut out like Mass.
Ensemble driven movie, dark, but really good, but just like maybe just a little too dark for it to really kind of, I don't know.
Good analogy. Dana, go.
Let me just put this. Okay, Hollywood will recognize this film, and for no other reason. Hollywood is full of people with daddy issues. People in Hollywood are all about trying to see how they can please their dad at this point in time yet. And they're all going to have this tear-jerking moment where they're going, well, I wish I could have done that and made my dad happy and blah, blah, blah. It's all going to connect with them. They're going to all not pretend. They're going to all pretend they don't like it, but somehow it's going to sneak into consideration for a lot of different Oscar pictures when it's or picks when it's said and done.
Joey, couldn't have come in at a better time, but we're talking about Iron Claw right now.
Oh, awesome. It was great.
Yeah, everyone says it fucking rips. And I'm the only one apparently who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, that sucks. It's awesome.
Bring tissues.
I already got my tickets for Tuesday, so. Yeah.
Adam, hey. I'm afraid Anatomy of a Fall might be in next territory for the Oscars.
Fucking rips choice right now. I just watched it today.
Mm.
No fucking way is that not getting at least in the international picture conversation as the Palme d'Or.
It's not on the short list. It's out.
No. It can't? Out.
France didn't choose it. France has to put up for it. They didn't.
This is the same as Portrait of a Lady on Fire again.
Stop it. And RRR last year.
This is stupid.
Yeah, it's very stupid.
They really should not limit it to one fucking thing. And now that they've opened it up that English like contributors or can submit a film to, or England, excuse me. What takes place in Great Britain or the United Kingdom?
Karen, you're still really big high on Anatomy of a Fall, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. You and Joey saw it together same time?
Yeah.
We did. Yeah. We dug it. Oh, here's Grant.
Looking like the Brady Bunch.
What's up, guys? Here.
We're going to test the limits of how many people Riverside can hold.
I think we can get a full Brady Bunch here before we're done.
Screens keep shifting.
Can I be Alice?
Grant, good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so really quickly, I don't know how long we're going to have Kieran. And Kieran, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to put you on the spot for something really quickly.
Okay.
Okay, so you may have remembered I asked you about a week ago, favorite Christmas song. Do you remember what your favorite Christmas song is?
I remember because it's always been my favorite Christmas song. It doesn't change week to week.
Day to day.
Yeah, have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Okay, so if you wouldn't mind, for our live YouTube audience, would you indulge us in a little, your favorite Christmas song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, sung as Eric Cartman?
Oh, you want me to sing it as Eric Cartman? Or not as Mr. Hanky.
I would love to hear that right now.
Yeah, you are.
Grant doesn't like when I do.
Really putting him on the spot for this one.
Well, I mean, it's the gimmick, right?
Grant hates when I do this. There is a Mr. Hanky version of it, but okay. I haven't tried this again.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let yourself be right. Now yourself a merry little Christmas. Near you can.
There we go. Sorry.
Bravo. What's the cheer on that?
Oh, you want
Bravo.
That was great, Kieran. Loved it.
Oh, of course not. The soundboard's not loading.
Off key at one point.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
What was that, Tom? I'm sorry. Was it
the soundboard? No longer is working.
Yes.
Oh, too many people for the soundboard.
Yes. Oh,
there it is.
He did not prep me for that. He did not prep me for that. That was
I wanted to see if I can put you on the spot.
You did. That was a first take shot right there.
Okay, now Grant,
Captain,
I know
Captain and Tennille, I practiced quite a bit.
Grant, I know you're kind of on a time constraint. You might not have a whole lot of time on you. I can hang out.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to throw a WPC question your way. I think we're going to probably talk about movies that we've loved. We've already talked about some movies that fucking rip. But let's get to some bad movies. Are there any movies that you have seen this year that might one day be a worst picture quality movie? Because I know I can think of a couple.
Like movies that came out in 2023?
Yeah. Have you seen a movie this year that you're like, that's so bad, it's got to be a worst picture type of movie?
Let's see. Well,
we can always come back to you.
No, we Joey and I, a couple of months ago, we did an episode with Britt from 1001 by 1 called Tiffany the Doll. And this by a director named Felicia Rivers. And all of her stuff is on Tubi. And I feel like every month she comes out with a new movie. I'm not even kidding. And I've seen a couple of them. The Color Green is good. Sneaky Links. So like there's a whole bunch that I've seen from this year that could totally qualify.
Are they all like straight to Tubi type stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah, straight to Tubi. And they're very bad. But they're so nonsensical that they're a lot of fun to watch and discuss.
So, Joey, about you? You got a WPC quality 2023 movie?
I mean, I think the closest that's come out this year was either Winnie the Pooh or Ghosted.
I watched it.
Has anyone seen Winnie the Pooh yet?
I watched it.
No,
the horror
I don't want
film
to.
Version?
Yeah, Blood and Honey?
No. Hell no.
Don't.
I'm not watching that.
It's the worst of the 300 and X number of movies I've seen this year by a mile. Anybody else have a worst picture type movie they've seen this year that they just cannot believe they watched?
Well, as for as much hype as Napoleon
Don't
had,
it.
I mean, it was almost unwatchable because I was so looking forward to it because I thought it would be good. You know.
Careful now, there are people in the chat that like that
and it
movie.
Was shit. It was just a piece of shit.
So Thomas or Dana, I'm assuming you're not going to watch the 4-hour extended cut of Napoleon.
Well, maybe if I have to have a colonoscopy too, because that's about the equivalency. I mean, I really tried to find something redeeming in it, but it was so superficial and pointless. I mean, it told
you know,
me,
I have to take
other
a
than
little
the
credit
name
for
Napoleon,
his...
that was about the only thing I got of any value out of it.
I have to take a little credit for his vitriol at this point. He's kind of like Adam walking out of the theater. He likes the movie initially, and as I talked about it, he's like, oh yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with that. Because I called it a visual Wikipedia entry. And I think that's exactly what it is. There are too many movies made like that. But, all right, let's get the opposing side on the film. Let's give him its due.
Are you directing that at me? Is that
yes,
what
I am.
Yeah.
Are you going to defend right, Napoleon here?
I like it. You know, well, I'm going to sit here and, you know, try to enter it into the Library of Congress. I enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
No, it's not the greatest movie. It's, you know, but like, you know, what you guys said, it was a 6 out of 10. It was probably a 6 out of 10 for me, too. We agree on like the value of it, but I enjoyed the battle scenes. I enjoyed the ice and the. They were cool visuals. I like this. It was a throwback to me. They don't make movies like that anymore. And I kind of dug the Ridley Scott of it all. It was like a cranky old man making a movie. And I'm a cranky old man. So
what were the accents?
What did it tell you about Napoleon? Really? What did it tell you about Napoleon? Nothing.
It told me all I know because I knew nothing about him going in. And what I know now is what Ridley Scott knows.
Okay, so
I'm
saying John real quick because you know he's sort of a specialist in bad movies with Below Freezing, which is just usually the worst of the worst type movies. So, Adam, give us a couple of your bad movies of the year. I'm sure you got a few.
Okay. Well, let's see. Really did not like, I can't believe I saw this in theaters. I saw The Flash. I didn't like that. Actually, you know what I think was the most disappointing? Goddamn. Boy, that Indiana Jones movie was pretty fucking bad. Goddamn, that movie,
that was a bummer.
Sucked. That movie was not good.
Was that a theater experience as well?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I live in what I feel like is the middle of fucking nowhere. But over the summer, I was back in Washington State. I was doing some shows. And so I got the Regal pass for the 2 months that I was there because I was like, well, it actually was pretty cost effective. So I made sure I got good use of it. So I think I saw it in IMAX because it cost me like $2 extra to do it. And I knew that I would want to see it. I knew it was going to be like a cultural event and thing. And, you know, I listened to other podcasts and I wanted to be kind of up to date with it. But just like, it was just not good. Like, it just wasn't good.
What about you, Adam? Adam?
I like a lot of movies.
You have any bad movies?
I'm a pretty easy mark. No, I don't think Barbie's a bad movie.
Barbie's outstanding.
I would say House Party was probably my least favorite movie of the year. I really did not enjoy that one at all. It was very bad. I didn't love Killers of the Flower Moon. That was a tough experience for 7 hours in the theater. Yeah, I like a lot of movies. I'm an easy mark. There aren't too many bad ones that I regret watching.
You can be an easy mark for sure. I can't believe you just threw Killers of the Flower Moon in the bad movie category. What the fuck is happening?
I'll say that.
Okay, so I've got you and I've got Joey both in the room. I know that the committee and Joey's list have kind of been at odds for a while.
The committee.
Yeah, yeah. So Adam, are there any members of the committee currently with us right now in the room?
I put some feelers out. Taylor Swift was busy.
Just, you're the committee member tonight?
Travis Kelce. She's busy ruining the Chiefs season. So she was unavailable.
Wait. Taylor Swift didn't respond to Andrew Corner's invite to this thing right now?
We talked about five movies to get the link, and she couldn't do it.
Pete Davidson refused to come on because of Corns' liking. Yeah, so I'm unfortunately I am the only committee member here
attacking
tonight,
my list.
But they are watching, and they have taken note of Joey's slander, and you know we'll see what happens in the future. We'll see. Hey, we're
I'll
leaving
remain
your head
unfazed
rent-free
by
on your
the
list, man. We're in
committee.
Your head rent-free.
Joey, after the holidays,
this list of faceless thugs shall not have their day.
They never will because they're it's just
that's my
Adam
life
who's
trying
too nice,
my best.
Trying his best to take shots.
Oh, you're gonna have a terrible time
really
in November seeding the Spielberg tournament. And we are going to make fun of you every single minute for it.
Who's guesting for Spielberg? Is that Kieran? It's Tom? Okay.
Yes.
Ugh. 1941.
So, the Duncan duo.
What a piece of crap. I went and saw that in the theater when it was released in 1980. It was one of those films where I'm looking at my friend going, it's got John Belushi. This should be
the
funny.
One seed. Wow, damn. Taking
yeah, sure.
You have to watch it again too, buddy, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Now we will. Now
the
we
committee
will
write it very high.
That word in the committee.
It'll be a two seed.
Well, I haven't seen it, but it sounds interesting, so I'm going to give it a one seed in the East.
Yeah, Jaws is going to be a play-in.
Grant, speaking of, how did you find your first committee experience with Christmas Madness?
I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think there was anything too egregious. Santa Claus 2 was ranked pretty high. A little bit too high for my liking. But, I mean, there was nothing really... and Home Alone, four. Home Alone was not a one seed, which clearly it should have been. But no,
Joey's kid there was supported nothing, the committee's decision of Santa Claus 2, so I feel we feel vindicated about it.
Yeah, I think one of like three things the committee's ever done right is the Santa Claus 2 ranking after watching it this week. It's way better than the first one.
There's no way. There's no way.
Way better. The first one has a police lineup for someone they know who he is.
The end of the revisionist almanac. The end of the revisionist almanac, I can already predict it, will be when Raiders of the Lost Ark gets a 5 seed in the Spielberg tournament. It's going to happen.
We'll be covering 1981 in 2024 with Joey, so that should be a fun year. And speaking of madness, Joey and I will be on International Madness summer. Yeah, Adam, is that right? So. Okay. He's going to try to whittle down all international films ever released into a 64-movie bracket. And Joey and I are...
He should really go...
128.
I honestly think the funniest thing possible 16, is just go so to 16 could, and just piss everybody off. Like, just...
We might have an even split on Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark people, by the way. I think it might be a 4-on-4 split here.
Are you anti-Raiders?
What? What the fuck
Joey?
Is going on?
Wow.
It's the third best in
this.
Is
just oh, no, awful. Joey, though you had
awful.
It.
Awful
thought it
takes.
Was, it was, I thought it was me, the Adams. I thought it was me, the Adams, and Joey. Sorry.
So, Kieran, are you like Temple of Doom, or...?
I'm a Temple of Doom guy. Temple yeah, of but Doom? I just find it so slow, man. I just like, I don't know. I've tried many times, even as a kid. Like, maybe that's where it starts. As a kid, is like, I always just wanted to go to Temple of Doom. I'm a 2-3-1 guy. Sorry.
Okay. What about you, Adam? 1001.
I'll hang up and listen.
I love it. I think they're all terrible.
Oh.
That's amazing.
If you had to pick a favorite of the terrible.
Ah, boy. Boy.
Wait, why are you so disappointed by the new one then if you think they're all terrible?
Last Crusade.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All
right. Oh, no. Not disappointed. Gotcha. Just like, it was bad. That's it. It was just bad. Like, oh, look at that bad piece of art they put on the screen there. Like, God, that was bad. Right? Like that was like it was bad.
The terrible de-aging didn't do it for you?
In a summer full of movies that actually brought me so much joy and actually like reminded me of how great it is to go to the theaters, I had Indiana Jones and the Flash to just like bring me right back down. So yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. Especially in a great
year. I'll be back.
Year.
I'm going
to stand out.
I have to get a refill. My second bouncer right. I'm watching the security footage here as I do this. My second bouncer just showed up with a massive scarf. So he is a scarf guy. Who knew? I didn't know he would be a scarf guy. So there you go.
I'd be afraid of a bouncer with a scarf.
You'd be surprised. All right, I'll be back.
I wouldn't.
I'm going to get a refill.
Okay, so I got another question for my 1001 guy since I have two of them in here right now. Is there a movie or maybe a couple of movies that any of you guys think will be for sure 1001 book entries down the road?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It's a great year. Yeah.
Can you name what those are?
I mean, I won't speak for Joey, but I think Oppenheimer, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon. I actually think in an alternate world, probably not long-term, but at least for an edition, Past Lives will probably make it in.
Past Lives will be in forever, Adam.
It's gotta be.
I hope so. And I could even see the holdovers making it as well. I gotta say though, it's been like on the whole, I feel like it's been a really good year for movies. But like, I do think there are four or five that are really strong contenders to make it into the book.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously agree with all of those. And honestly, I think Iron Claw, put it up there with him.
I'm curious, do you guys know what year has the most entries in the 1001 book?
I don't know year, but it's the 70s by like a runaway mile, I feel.
Yeah, it's heavy.
Okay. I mean, I feel like this year has a shot at being one of those years where you have 7, 9 entries possibly. Oh, I mean, there's a ton of good choices.
I have a question for you about the 1001 book that just drives me absolutely insane. Joey already knows. He already knows. So the Toy Story thing. The Toy Story thing. What's up with that? They're combined into one. Yeah, there are three movies.
Yeah. Why is it in there? Because I think. Wait, are you creeping in for a second?
Hey.
I think the editors of that book would rather have 17 extra movies from 1934 that nobody gives a shit about anymore, but combine Toy Story into one because, God forbid, they have to pick more than one to fill out the book. I think it's a cop out. I can't defend it. I'm not defending the book at all. The book is just our guiding, our guiding post.
1,031 movies to see before you die.
I'll stop talking for a second. Hi.
Oh. Hi. I figured I'd crash this party.
What's up, Melissa?
Hey, Mel.
Hi.
I told them I stole your Merlot. So.
Yep.
Does anyone else have another movie from this year they think will definitely be a 1001 entry? Dana, what about you? Any like go-to movies this year for you?
Well, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a closet historian. And so to me, Oppenheimer rates is probably one of, if not the best film of this century so far for me. There was nothing I found that was a flaw in that film. The acting, the directing, the cinematography, it was a perfect film for me.
I assume nobody's going to throw out a hot take that Oppenheimer was bad or anything. Like, nobody's going to put that on record.
I am a hot take.
There's not in the room, so who knows?
No, he liked that one.
Just on time.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of, does anyone have their hottest hot take of the year they want to throw on record right now?
The funniest movie of the year. Thank you.
May December was garbage.
Oh, stop it.
Ooh. I'm back.
Where's Joey? Where's Joey to defend this?
I love May December.
No, I'm sorry. May December was a fucking. I was so mad. What a fucking stupid. That movie infuriated me.
That's pretty much was Kristen's reaction too. She was like, "What was that that you just maybe watched?"
So there was too many.
I think 2023 Madness is going to go great.
I'll give one. I think Quentin Tarantino has the right idea that directors should retire at 60.
Ooh, who's that a shot at? Ridley?
It's like, just in general.
I mean, Marty put out a pretty fantastic movie at 85 or whatever.
He put out a great one.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So. A great
Killers?
It's weird, though, because I do think, you know, while like I think Marty put out something great, you know, I just saw Ferrari today, and honestly, I thought that was fair to Midland, to be perfectly honest. So there is... I don't know if there's an age, but I think everybody has their peak. And like, I think Mans was in 2004, which is an awful thing to say, but.
Mans is kind of out of practice too, though. Like he hasn't been in the mix. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
What was Collateral his last great movie or good movie?
Might be his last, competent movie.
Yeah.
So you did not like Ferrari, I assume?
I didn't see it. I'm going to go in with an open mind. You know, I've seen the trailer 17 times at this point. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, man. Clint's 92, and he's pumping out his movie in April, and I'll be there on opening night. And, you know, watch it be very, very watchable.
Okay, you know? So Ken, what do you stand on, like, The Mule and some of his more recent stuff? I know you're a big Clint guy, but, like, what about his recent stuff, which I do not find interesting at all?
I don't know. Well, I think – well, first of all, his second-to-last movie was – Richard Jewell, which I think is outstanding. I think it is one of the better ones in his last 10 or so. The Mule is just a matter of how you watch it. If you watch it thinking you're watching this kind of drama, or even if you think you're watching like Gran Torino, if you watch it as like a flat out, like, you know, yuck it up comedy, you'll have a good time. And that's kind of how I view it. It's an entertaining B flick. That's how I look at it. But I get
I get why people don't love some of his later stuff. But he's also, listen, the guy's in his like 80s, late 80s, 90s, and putting out films. Yeah.
That's the problem. He's got to lift his pants so high he has to unzip it in order to give his directorial commands at this point in time. He needs to hang it up.
Yeah, I say keep going till you drop, baby. Can't stop till you get enough.
Does anyone think Tarantino is actually going to retire after his next film?
Yes.
I think he will. Yeah.
His ego's too bought into this whole gimmick. He like won't let himself out of it.
Yeah,
part of me believes he'll come out of retirement. He's too into himself.
I think he's going to do a bunch of TV directing and kind of like find his way around it.
Yeah, he'll do other stuff.
He'll come out because there'll be a draft Tarantino movement where there's like this massive petition. It's probably started by his agent. And all of a sudden there'll be this huge mass thing. He's got to come out and do one more film. And he'll, okay.
Is that the bar in the background?
Your business is bumping.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm in mute.
DJ Doug just cranking it up, huh?
They actually just played, they actually just crushed a version of Oh, What a Night, you know? Speaking of Clint Eastwood there with Adam's St. John's favorite movie, Jersey Boys, you know? So.
Great play. It's a great musical.
I got to say, while I have Adam, Kieran, both you guys on here, and Melissa, the Noel episode, holy shit, that was a fun one.
Insane, man.
What a wild movie, right?
I was concerned for Mike's health after. He's like, yeah, it wasn't even as crazy as other things I've seen. I'm like, oh my God, what else are you watching over there? Like, good Lord. This is the most deranged movie I've ever seen in my life.
I was talking to Melissa about it, and the next morning, I was like, I love that Mike came in trying to really analyze the film. It brought
Mike's
such
the best.
Joy to me.
Mike's the best.
Mike is such a sweetheart. He really is.
Mike dropped a couple of F-bombs in the recording. I was like, who's
whoa.
This guy?
That's rare. Yeah. Yeah, that is rare.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
What can I
stuff.
Say? I just make people swear, I guess.
But Melissa brings it out of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so another quick question for everybody in the room. We can just go around the table. What is your favorite episode of your own show from this year? I'm going to put you all on the spot. Do you have like one that you kind of really just are happy with the way it turned out or had a good time in the actual recording process? Is there a favorite episode for you? Dane, I'm going to go over to you first. Do you have a...
Okay.
I got to put you on the spot for something.
Okay. Whenever we have a guest, Tom always tells me how much more animated I am. Maybe it's because people, when they're guests on the show, draw me out much more than him. They're more interesting to talk to. I know that much. But so I can't really pick one.
I think you're fun, Tom.
We've had several. I mean, I love the film Stalag 17. So that was a great film for me to talk about. You know, it's one of my favorites. It's always been because it was one of my dad's favorites. And so we'd watch it whenever we could find it. So, you know, a lot of it's bringing back memories of watching stuff with my dad. And that's part of the process for me. And one of the reasons why I find some movies more endearing to me than others.
Tom, what about you? What's your favorite G-Mode episode last year or this year?
So there's the one that's probably... What?
Adam over there in the corner has got Stalag up.
Ah.
Of course. Okay. Of course.
He's the only person on Earth I think I'm jealous of his physical media collection. And Joey will know that I'm going to go to great lengths to try to top that.
That will never happen.
His kids aren't going to eat for a month so he could do it.
That was a Blu-ray, too. It's the Log 17 Blu-ray. Impressive.
Oh, man. It makes me sweat seeing all those movies back there.
Yeah. Kids are crying. They're like, shit.
All right, Tom, what's your G-Mode favorite episode this year?
So there's the head and there's the heart pick. The heart pick would say when we did a four-person Dark Knight episode and it became our number one overall film, on the greatest movie list, that one's always going to be up there for me because, like, I had held back my three favorite films of all time, and it was the right time to finally do one. So that's going to we did 3.5 hours on The Dark Knight. I don't know if I'll ever top that on a personal level. But as far as the head pick, I really love the way our Shining episode turned out. We had honestly one of our best guest appearances of the year with all the conspiracy theories we went into and deep down the rabbit hole of all of that. We had somebody who was really invested in every inch of that film. And I loved the way that one turned out.
Adam, what about you? You've got two to pick from, Below Freezing, 1001. Do you have a favorite from what you guys did?
You know, I gotta be honest, with Below Freezing, we just kind of keep upping the insanity. I feel like every time that we do it. Noelle was fun. I know that's a lot of recency bias. But we haven't had guests on in a while, so it was fun to have other people on the show. I mean, what was one from this season that really stands out? I'm really glad we got through Sharknado, because goddamn, that was a slog. I don't know.
I was a part of that.
I enjoyed watching or listening to the Striptease episode. That was a fun one.
I was going to say,
Showgirls.
There you go.
And I don't know. I really liked Practical Magic.
That was fun to rip to shreds. Yeah. You're right. That was fun.
I also must say, Melissa is getting really, really good at nailing the box office numbers compared to, I feel like, maybe a year ago. So you're doing a good job on those.
You know, learning to decipher my own notes is paying off, I think.
I prefer when you're wildly off, to be perfectly honest.
Grant, what about you? Worst picture, best picture, and any favorites from you this year?
Let's see. I really liked our Friday the 13th rankings. I thought that was for the worst picture cast, we did that rankings episode. I felt like that was really good. And for best picture cast, I think I would go with the Unforgiven episode. That was a really good one for me. Let's do that. I was drunk drinking whiskey all that episode. It was, and it shows, but it was a good episode.
Speaking of, what are you drinking right now, Grant?
Just water. Just water right now.
Joey, how about you? What are you drinking? What's your favorite episode of the year?
Drinking Basil Hayden's on ice.
Nice.
And episodes. So 1001, I think I'd go probably Haxan, because
great choice.
You know, it was a nice surprise, and the episode was a blast to do, because it was, you know, when you go in thinking you're going to be the only one who likes something, and it turns out super fun. 1001, best picture cast. I think our rankings are always the best, but I think Parasite or All About Eve are the best, my favorites of the year. And worst picture cast, of course, Nuke 'Em High.
For anyone who's watching or listening right now, throw a little backstory on Nuke 'Em High.
No, that's not true.
We recorded an episode, Adam. There you go. Thank you. Forgot to hit record. Or lost the recording. I'm sorry. So even worse, he recorded, then just didn't save it right. So there's a whole episode of me and Grant being being awesome and just silence.
Adam got scared, so he didn't hit record, right? He's too scared to record.
It was too scary. Too scary a movie. There was a gun in it.
Hopefully one day we get the Muppet episode.
You may want to check the YouTube feed. No, I don't think we're live.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
YouTube has a mind of its own sometimes.
Okay.
We'll post it after the fact.
Moving on.
Kieran, how about you? Got any favorites from the year?
Grant and Joy both mentioned two of my favorites in Unforgiven and Parasite. I think Parasite's probably our best of the year. But I'll shout out one they didn't say is I really, really love Covering in the Heat of the Night. We had such a good time with that. We had a new guest on that hadn't been on, and who had a unique relationship with Sidney Poitier, as you know, coming up a black actor and being inspired with him, and just had a really fun time with that. And I liked that movie. You know, I liked the movie going in, but just really appreciated it even more in covering it. So that was a really fun episode. But I thought our best episode of the year was on Parasite, and you know, All About Eve, right? Good stuff. Good stuff across. But yeah, I'll go In the Heat of the Night.
I'll mention Adam, two. Circuit I Burst, think 2022 what was your favorite madness, over there
this year?
Was fun. It kicked off the whole shtick that I'm doing now, that I really enjoy. So I like that. Kind of gave me the template moving forward. And Joey did well. His reaction to what's that movie that you love with the idiot? Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he his reaction.
After Sun, how dare you?
It was great. And then. And then Top Gun.
Hey, you got the other Adam with that one.
I really love talking about that. That was a blast. So.
I also want to throw out, I've listened to all of, just about every episode from all of you guys. A few favorites of mine from yours. I love the At Pupil episode, even though I might have been the only listener apparently for At Pupil.
Hey. Yes, you,
great stuff over there. also 1001, The Evil Dead, the amount of salt coming off of Adam throughout the whole thing was
unbelievable.
Agreed, that was a great episode.
Yeah, I hope we get more of that. And then everything on Tom Cruise Madness, absolute blast. Mission Impossible 2, Ride or Die, right, Karen?
Yeah, baby. Give me the doves. Give me all the doves. Give them to me.
I didn't know that wearing masks change your height. You have to pull a mask off, you're 6 feet, you're six
Tom
inches
Cruise
shorter.
Hair flowing in the breeze, Limp Bizkit, just living life. God.
Are there any other Mission Impossible 2 lovers in the room? Thumbs up, thumbs down? No?
That adds up on Rotten Tomatoes. I will say what made my year was Dana's episode of the year was one that I was on. And that, you know, that's the only podcasting accolades I needed for the entire year. So there you go.
All right. Another quick question for all of you guys. Just kind of asking, do you have a favorite, a movie you're looking forward to most in 2024 that you anticipate will be your favorite coming up? Is there something like, whether it's a January release or something you're looking at down the line? Kieran, Joey, I know you guys are going to do a whole new thing with BPC where you're going to go into, like, you know, movie news and all this stuff. Are there some movies that you're looking at on the horizon that you're really looking forward to?
I'll go quick just because I already mentioned it. Juror number two, Clint Eastwood. Keep pumping them out, Clint. Live when forever, baby.
What's the release date on that?
I think April. I think it's April.
Okay. What about you, Joey? Dune 2, right at the top?
Oh, no, I'm going to sleep through that. Bong's new movie, Mickey 17.
Do you anticipate it'll sort of get that, like, anytime somebody wins Best Picture or Best Director, they always kind of get shit on right afterwards? Do you anticipate, like, they're going to come at him for that to any degree?
Oh, yeah. The film Twitter dorks are going to be a nightmare for, like, a month, and then they'll settle down. When the next, because then it comes right around Dune 2. So the same Twitter dorks would be mad at that will be, you know, claiming the walking in Dune 2 is a masterpiece. So it'll balance it out.
Grant, what about you? Anything you're looking forward to? I know you don't get around to as many movies these days as you like to, but
yes. Probably Deadpool 3 and Paddington 3. Those are the two that I'm looking forward to the most.
So I assume Paddington 1, Paddington 2 way up on the list for you?
Number 2 especially.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good choice. Adam, Melissa, have any things you're looking forward to?
Do you want to say it? You can.
Oh, you can.
So
I think I'll ever be able to leave the house again after this movie.
I don't know if it's going to be good, but they're doing a sequel to It Follows called They Follow.
Oh, they are.
And I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I assume you're both really into It Follows.
Oh, yeah. We scared the shit out of me.
We broke protocol and did a special episode on it on Below Freezing. Yeah. I don't know how long ago now, but yeah. Big fans of it.
Was that the only protocol breaker?
Oh,
I think, outright yes. When we do some of the franchises, there are some that don't meet it, but that's just kind of how it goes.
Right.
But like actively going like, no, we're gonna do one that we just want to do. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Tom, what about you? What are you looking forward to next year?
Well, I mean, I was a big Dune fan, so I think I'll enjoy the second one now that I got pushed into that. Outside of that, I'll say I'm excited for the movie that I don't know about yet.
No.
Every year, there's always something that pops up that just completely surprises me. Usually, like, once every 3 months. Oh, screw you, Adam. Anyway, I know, but next year is so sequel heavy. We have like 23 different sequels of something, including the abomination that is Joker.
Wow.
I mean, he's, you know, you boo, but he's right. I mean, like, we don't know now what's going to hit us next year. Like, I didn't know, like, the holdovers was coming. I didn't know Anatomy of a Fall is coming. Like, you don't know what's going to hit you. It's impossible to tell at this point. I mean, you can really be on it and try to guess what you like, but, you know, that's the beauty of that. Once you get to, like, the fall of the year, is that these movies just kind of hit you. You know?
Well, and I think the biggest thing for me has always been, usually the ones I anticipate are the ones I probably like the least. It's the ones that I don't expect and have no preconceived notions going in that I'm really going to enjoy.
Dana, what's at the top of your list for next year?
Well, having grown up in an era more ancient than anybody else in this room right now, I have watched so many 60s and 70s TV shows made into movies. And other than The Fugitive, they've all been utter crap. So I am excited to see what they're going to do with The Fall Guy, with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. I'm hoping that they actually can pull it off and make a decent film out of a TV show that starred Lee Majors. And I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen. So that's more tongue-in-cheek because I'm not holding out great hope, but I am kind of interested in seeing, and I will probably be in line right away when it's released so that I can see it, whether it's good or bad, just to kind of grunt and whatever. But yeah. So,
Dana, what do you stand on Ryan Gosling? Fan, not a fan?
I like him. I mean, I think he's a pretty good actor. He kind of disgusts me because he's so freaking good looking. But other than that, you know, I have no problem with him. He seems to do a very good job of picking some of the parts. He was great in Barbie. I think that might have been the best thing I've seen him in. Although I did like him in The Big Short too, because he was just slimy enough that you really kind of hated his character, but also didn't quite hate his character. It was kind of a dichotomy that was a pretty nice performance overall.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's mentioned it yet, but the one at the top of my list is Furiosa. I adore Mad Max Fury Road so much, and I haven't seen the trailer, so I have no idea if the CGI that they apparently had in there is going to do it any justice or not, but I'm trusting George Miller is going to pull something off pretty cool with Furiosa. Anya Taylor-Joy kicks ass all the time, so hoping that turns out well. Out Adam, what about you?
I think the first one is one of the better Pixar movies they've ever done. So, well, Toy Story 2 is my favorite.
Even with
Pixar
the Pixar
ever,
sequels so always feel, tending to suck.
You know, I don't know. And I love Maya Hawke. She's the voice, I believe, of anxiety or whatever that emotion is. So super excited for that one. And Challengers, just for Tom to go non-sequel. I'm very excited for that one.
Okay, another question for you. Adam, what's up over there in the corner?
Oh, no. I'm still kind of reeling over the Toy Story
favorite.
2 is the best Pixar film comment. I was going to let
favorite,
that slide, but
I'm
not
Story
really good
best,
at hiding
my
favorite. Toy Story, the original,
sequels.
Better
the
than
original
Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Okay, occasionally there is a
They're
sequel
all one movie
that
anyway.
Comes out
all
that is better
one
than the original.
Movie. Doesn't matter.
We talked.
Fucking, it's one movie.
Just a 9-hour movie.
Well, yeah. I can't explain that. I'm sure they didn't limit The Godfather to one movie.
You know,
did they limit the Star Wars trilogy to one movie?
In the book?
Yes.
Actually, there are.
But
I think there
are
four Star Wars movies in the book.
See, there you go.
Yeah, they're separate. Toy Story is combined.
And no, they're separate. They're separate.
He's not defending the book. He already said this. Move on, counselor.
It's That's what happens when you get legal people in the room with their bird law.
Yeah.
I love Toy Story 2.
Jesse's song also fucking broke.
It's a good movie.
I love 2 too. I love 2 too, Adam. It's a great film. Yeah, it's a lot.
I'll keep Toy Story 3 comments quiet because I know we covered that in the upcoming episode we've got dropping next Friday. First episode of The Almanac with Kieran on 2010. Maybe Toy Story 3 got a Best Picture nomination. Never know. Going around the room again, Grant, I'm going to go over to you first. Even though you haven't seen a ton of movies, I know you've seen some this year. Mm. What's the biggest what the fuck moment of the year for you of any movie you've seen? Good, bad, whatever.
I feel like I have to defer to some of the Felicia Rivers stuff. I think it came out in 2023. But if you ever watched Tiffany the Doll, where they shoot, where they try to shoot a gun at Tiffany, at one of the dolls, and she just casually just sidesteps the bullets. It's wonderful.
Unfortunately, 2022 film.
I don't know if I'm
collective eye roll, folks.
I don't know if I'm ever going to take a recommendation from you, Grant, and I mean no offense by that, but what you gave me for October this year was abysmal. I've seen some bad movies, but man, you really topped it on that one. But I'll probably come back to you. But man, you those are some bad movies you picked for me this year.
Worst picture cast.
Oh, they were definitely on brand. Kieran, what about you? Do you have like a holy shit, what the fuck moment from this year? Any movie? A scene.
Gotta be Jigsaw turning babyface to take on Big Pharma and Saw X, you know? I didn't see it coming. He had the crowd behind him.
So,
you know, he took on the bad guys from the pharmaceutical companies, and at the end he grabbed the mic and said, "If I could change, you could change too." So
I assume you're fucked up for
Jigsaw going babyface in 2023. There you go.
Are you feeling good about Saw 11 or whatever the hell they're calling it next?
Oh, I love, dude. All you need to know about Saw X is that every single Saw movie is sub 50. Most of them qualify for Adam's show. Saw X was rated like 92 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like the critics just fucking loved it, and I think he just had to go babyface for his brand, you know. And the fact that I'll be on Gmote doing the OG Saw in October is just incredible to me. You know, I can't wait for Tom to pee his pants watching the movie, I guess, because he doesn't like horror movies, but it should be good. I'm excited.
Tom, what about you?
That's my WTF.
What's your WTF moment of the year?
I'll just say I will be wearing my Depends with all the lights on and the shades wide open. It'll be fine. My WTF is the vampire scene from Saltburn. That one was...
No spoilers. No spoilers.
I am not saying anything that is unusual or descriptive or whatever else, but that literally got an audible what the fuck in the theater from me. So I think that fits.
Have you showed Dana yet?
No, I will never show my parents that movie. If they get to that one scene alone, they will be like, "Why are you showing me this film? My mother
with them
will disown me."
It's not a nice Christmas movie for you guys this year.
Nope. She hates Parasite. So how is she going to do with that movie?
Dana, please trust us. Watch Saltburn. Just watch it.
I will try. I will try to watch it. I mean, he's kind of set me up for this not being something that I'm going to enjoy. And, you know, I mean, you know, as you get older, you're supposed to be stuck in your ways. And I'm trying really hard to not be stuck in my ways and try to experience other things and other films. But when he so deadpans a film, "You're gonna hate it," you know, boy, that kind of poisons the well.
It's time to prove
him
wrong.
I like the film. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy the film. I don't think it's gonna be something he's gonna like. I know my dad well enough.
Is it gonna be like Kafka? the
question for the floor. Will I like it?
Yes.
No. No.
We got 1-1, Joey.
I'd say no.
2-1, Adam.
They know you better than I do, so I can. I'll rescind my vote.
Other Adam. I would say 50-50. All right. Either way.
All right.
Yeah, Joey would know.
I have no idea how it's going to go for me because there's some people I like involved. There's some vibes I don't normally like, so we'll see.
Did you like Promising Young Woman?
I loved it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you might like it then. You might like it.
Yeah. It just dials up the madness by an nth degree.
So, Adam St. John, you're watching it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to definitely DM me your thoughts after you watch it. I'm dying to hear about it.
You got it.
What was your what the fuck moment of the year? Do you have one?
Every single second of Bo is Afraid.
It's a lot
of seconds. That movie.
Did you end up liking it at the end?
It's my least favorite Ari Aster film, but that doesn't mean that I didn't like. This sounds so like I didn't like it. I loved the swing that it took. Like I really did. I got to the end. I was like, wow. People gave him money to make this. Like what a
lot.
What a big bold fucking swing. That scene with Parker Posey is gonna go down. That's gonna be something that like people are talking about like a fucking century from now.
It's so wild. I love that movie. That was when we left that, Kristen was like, you know, you could go by yourself to more movies.
Did she stay awake the whole time? I'm impressed if she did.
Yeah, she was most of the time. She's just looking at me like, what is this? I enjoyed every second of it.
Okay, so Little Adam, what's your what the fuck moment of the year?
It's funny because I refer to someone else as Little Adam, if you know what I mean. But I was gonna say just.
No, I really don't. Do you want to elaborate?
Watch Saltburn.
It doesn't need
watch
much
Saltburn.
Elaboration, if you
no,
know
please,
what I mean.
Adam. Please, please, Little Adam.
I don't think he coined the
nickname. Varying in size, Adam. I don't know. Does that make it more clear, Dana? It's neither. It's neither. It's just there.
It's a grower, not a shower.
I was going to say Saltburn so just as a whole.
Tries his
best. Is it made of marble? It's like looking at the
We cleared 10 o'clock, though, guys. We cleared 10 o'clock.
I was just going to say Saltburn as a movie.
It's good I will go
with Tom Cruise's motorcycle jump in Mission Impossible in like in a good way. Even though I'd seen the trailer 100 times, I'd watched the behind-the-scenes video they did about him making it. Still, when you see it in a theater, I mean, I was like borderline standing up. Like I was just like leaning forward as he was jumping, and I just found myself like almost standing up. So I thought that moment was incredible.
I also had Saltburn the entire thing just because like I saw it in the right environment, the right rooms, packed people, all ages and everything. It was a hell of an experience, but somebody already took it. So I'll go, I saw Poor Things last week and sat directly next to like an 80-year-old woman who was all
That's
alone.
Amazing.
And I thought this is the coolest chick I've ever seen. And I hope I'm as cool as that in 40 years, because that is not a movie I'd expect like a senior citizen to be going to see. And she was clearly having a good time. Poor Things kicked ass. Great stuff. Emma Stone went for it. Loved it. St. John, you seem to be a Poor Things fan as well up there cheering me.
I got a great Christmas gift from Melissa, which was that she allowed me to drive out of our small town. I stayed the night at I picked a very shitty hotel. So I could see 4 movies in like 36 hours because I don't live in an area where I can see movies in movie theaters that easily. And I agree. I thought Poor Things was it was not what I expected. I dug it. I really dug it. And this just reinforces this, like we were really given a great year for movies. I I think whatever the best picture lineup ends up being, I think like seven to eight of them are going to be just like all time fucking bangers. Like I've really enjoyed the like Oscar movies this year. I can't wait for it to start kind of ramping up.
What else did you get to go see in that little 36 hour span?
So I saw, this Merlot is getting to me. I saw,
all right, pull out the letterbox.
We're not drinking any fucking Merlot. Covering Sideways, 1001 by 1, 2024.
Hell yeah.
So I saw Poor Things. I saw The Boy and the Heron, the Miyazaki film. I saw Iron Claw, and I saw The Color Purple.
Damn. Did you go sub or dub on The Boy and the Heron?
Surprisingly, I went subbed. Yeah.
Adam, my little Adam, whatever he is, Adam, you went sub or dub. I can't remember.
I go sub for like live action films out of respect, I feel like, for the actors. But if it's an animated thing, I don't care. I'm going dub.
I agree with that.
Okay, everybody's got a little bit of alcohol in us, at least 80% of the room. I think it's time for the conversation about Maestro, which is clearly...
Wait, you didn't ask me my what the fuck. That's what the fuck you, man.
Hey, you that was the what the fuck moment right there.
You hold make on, me list shit on, every day.
On. Doesn't everyone in the room have to have seen the movie?
Today, Joey. I told you.
Oh, this was really good. Oh, so it wasn't as perfect as you like? All right, rank it among your top three disappointments of the last 36 hours. But you forget me in a roundtable discussion.
Hold everything. Doesn't everyone have to have seen the movie to discuss it?
Okay, Joey, we're not there yet. What's your WTF moment?
I was going to talk all about Poor Things and how much I loved it. But instead, you guys talked about that. I'm going to talk about Marshawn Lynch in Bottoms because he was freaking hysterical. And that guy needs to be in more comedies. He was amazing.
And it was all improv, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He just went for it and he was fantastic.
Okay. So I'm not going to spoil anything if you haven't seen it. Maestro, Kieran, you loved it, I believe, right?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I think I agree with what Tom's saying is that there's people who haven't seen it. It's a little early in the season. I don't know that we need to like center a conversation around this specific movie with it.
But you had a good time with it, correct?
I mean, you know, Bradley Cooper could do, you know, cartwheels in a Barney costume and I would love it, but you know, that's just kind of how it works.
Has who hasn't seen Maestro in the room?
I have not, but last night I got a report from my friend Leo, who's a retired teacher who's in his mid-70s, and he thought it was interesting, and his wife just kept going, what why are we watching what? Yeah, so
yeah, I got a lot to say on Maestro. I just don't know that today's the tonight's the night or the platform. So you'll definitely hear my thoughts on it at some point.
Okay, now I can't, even though we're past Christmas, I don't know if I could do something around the holidays and not ask the question that everyone has to ask. Wow. Is Eyes Wide Shut a Christmas movie?
Yes,
obviously, right?
Yes, 1,000%.
No. Okay. Good.
Running for wheels,
Adam clearly not agreeing.
Christmas movie? Well, you know.
You need to see more movies.
I would like to have Nicole Kidman's breasts gift wrapped under the tree.
And the dirty old man comes out.
Moment of the night. Moment of the night, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I change my what the fuck moment of 2023?
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, man. Okay, so another quick question for you. What's coming 2024 for your podcast channel? I know everybody's got a lot of big stuff on the way. Everybody's prepping already.
Well, you know me. I live dangerously,
Circuitverse,
so I try not
what's
to get too far ahead
because
I can get canceled at any moment. So I try to live in the moment. But I think the next thing I'm doing, Big Adam, if you will, is going to join me for 2023 Movie Madness. He's coming on and he's going to dip his toes into the madness water. So I'm looking forward to that a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
It is.
Incredible. This is breaking news. I love this.
I may or may not also drink an entire bottle of wine for that. I gotta be honest. Feeling a little toasty right now. Hey, this bottle
is
gone.
I support alcohol.
Keep it flowing, baby. Keep it flowing. Wow, I'm excited by this. Not that I'm not tired of hearing Joey R's voice, because I'm not. But I'm excited. I'm excited. This is great news. This is great news.
It's always fun seeing somebody first timer to the madness, the committee. Grant obviously knows firsthand what that was like recently.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Grant crushed it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, thanks.
I don't want to spoil the winner, but I think it's already been posted, but solid winner for sure.
Yeah, a true classic.
Grant, is there anything on the way from Worst Picture Cast for you guys?
I don't know. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. I think Joey and I we've talked about doing maybe Death Spa in January.
Oh, great. Great pick.
The movie you made me watch in October. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's right. That was. So it was, but I know you weren't a fan, but I love it. And so that, and I think we'll try to have Adam on again, to do a trauma movie, but I don't know. He's still kind of on my shit list. So.
Ruined your podcast, insulted your art skills. I've not been a good person to you. Yes, he did.
Did he ever get me back after that whole awkward
incident? The reason it was awkward is because of Joey. Joey just completely fucked with me.
What, the... When Joey convinced Adam that I was mad at him for
you were flipping him. I think.
Don't believe
I'm so stupid, and I just gotten out of his head. Joey, I had a great, like 3 days with it.
Yeah,
I mean, no one told me that was fake. I thought that was real.
It was horrible. He's like,
I thought that was real. I wasn't in on the kayfabe there.
Kieran, I want to go over to you. I know you got something to plug coming up in like the next couple of days. It's getting ready to drop, right? What's on the way from BPC?
Yeah, we're doing a new monthly little episode called BPC on the Feed, where Joey, our hosts, and I kind of sit back, and he just kind of runs through the news, the monthly news and the movies and cinema. It's obviously beefed up this time of year with the award season. It's going to get like weird in August when there's nothing going on, but we'll find our way through it. But we recorded our first one, and it was like 10 times better than we thought it would come out. So that drops on New Year's Day. Going to be a good time. We got some good movies coming up, too. We have Audrey Hepburn in Joey, help me.
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady, thank you. coming out. That's our first one. And then Hurt Locker coming out. Gladiator. Some good stuff. Good stuff coming up. Eventually, we'll... you know, we're about three movies ahead at all the time. We have a few we have kicking around. You know, I hate to announce a movie like four ahead because I just change my mind sometimes and go a different route. But those are basically the next three that we're looking at. So,
Dana and Tom, you guys are cranking out G-Mode episodes every week. What's on the way the next couple of months?
Go ahead.
No, you do. You know the schedule better than I do.
Well, yeah, anyway. We have our fourth anniversary coming up at the end of February, but we have before that episode 200, and we always do one of the bigger movies around the 25 marks on the show. So we are taking a large bite of the apple, going with Gone with the Wind for that one.
Yeah.
And Dana, as the resident Civil War historian and non-apologist for the South, is not looking forward to that one, as you could tell. So we have that. Obviously, we teased his JFK soft launch in September. I'm also really looking forward to a revisit of possibly one of, well, not possibly, a top five film of mine that will have two of the people in this current chat on that episode outside of myself and my co-host. And that would be our July 3rd recording of 12 Angry Men, the revisit.
Nice.
Do you want to mention who of those people in the room?
I will let them identify themselves if they wish.
It's me and one of the Adams. You'll have to figure out which size it is, you know? Whichever size it's, you prefer.
It's not about the size of the atom.
He's shrinking.
It's
shrinking.
Not the very little atom.
It's about what the atom can do. It's not about the size of the atom.
Well, he's the biggest atom on screen right now. There we go. Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen when an atom has to watch a 50s black and white movie.
Mm. It's a pretty easy one to watch. It's a pretty easy one to watch.
It's not even very long.
Adam St. John, you got two different things going on. What's on the way below freezing 1001?
Oh, yeah. So below freezing, we definitely have, we've reached out to actually plenty of people in this room, actually, but also others as well. So we're going to try to do way more with having guests on next season. Some of you have reached out and have given episodes that you are going to podcast on, which will be great. I believe, and Melissa's not down here, so this could change. So, you know, this is not based in any fact. I believe our franchise, I don't think we've actually said this on air. I believe we're going to cover the Twilight films.
Look at that. Little Adam. Oh,
little Adam.
Little Adam has just grown. He's just grown. Look at that.
That's
big Adam.
Adam's standing up. That's for sure.
Medium-sized Adam is excited.
Fairly adequate Adam.
He's saluting. He's definitely saluting.
So yeah, that's below freezing. And then 1001 by 1. I mean, if you listen to our draft episode, you basically know everything that we're covering. So I don't know if I know. I mean, Joey, I know I can. We're getting ready to record our Edgar Wright definitive director ranking. So I know I'm in the throes of that. I know we all are. That's what's going to start off the start of our fifth season. And then our season 4 recap hasn't posted yet. So I don't know actually what's public and what's not. There's some cool shit planned for season 6 though too that I won't say now, but that when you hear it, I'm excited about it. So that'll be fun.
And that recap episode is absolutely hysterical. So beyond all the news coming out, it's just a very funny episode.
When do you guys do your draft every year?
Well, great, great question. The draft was a new thing for season 4. We do have it scheduled. Probably
have it
right
scheduled for July.
In the middle of the season.
Okay, I hope you guys keep the draft permanently because I thought that was one of my favorite episodes listening to it.
We are definitely keeping the draft. And I think and while the draft is not finalized, I definitely am thinking of ways to make it a bit more fun, but also a bit more like our choice. Joey doesn't even know this yet. I'm crafting up some ways to make the draft even more like way narrow. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. We have a good season coming up, and Akira comes out this week. So, yes.
Oh, that's excellent. Is that tomorrow or next week?
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. Okay.
Or wait, no, today's Friday, right? Today's Friday.
Tonight, yeah.
Today's Friday. Week from today.
Okay, and then obviously, you know, Adam and I with the Almanac, we've got an episode. Our first episode is going up on Friday, 2010 year in film with Kieran. I think it turned out really, really great for a pilot episode. We're looking forward to, you know, all the things that comes with it. We're going to have an episode. We're going to have online voting. We're going to have a YouTube results video at the end. So it's really going to be kind of a multifaceted project. Then, you know, down the road, we've got a February episode with Tom from Gmote. We're doing 1998. We've got an episode with an independent author in March where we're going to be doing 1954. Joey's going to be on in April for 81. Then obviously we're going to have Adam, Joey, and Britt, who is not here right now, but here with us in spirit. We're going to have our big July 4th mid-year bash, if you will. And that's going to be 1994. And I know Adam's super excited for that because I believe it's your favorite film of all time in that year. And so we'll see how that fares. But yeah, we've got a ton of stuff coming up with the Almanac. And, you know, we've obviously got some time left now, but I just wanted to let everybody know we're grateful for your support and all the help you guys have given us along the way the last 6-8 months. It's been a real fun thing kind of getting this underway, and we're eternally grateful for all you guys and everything you do for us.
If I don't make the list after the 1998 pod, I will be disappointed.
Point Break in 98.
Your Point Break take got you as close as we could. Now we're going to...
Oh, trust me.
I trust that.
After trust that. A discussion last night on the MCU did? Pod. Yeah, I'm pretty certain.
We're recording 98. We're recording next Friday for the 1998 year in film and Oscars, and that was Shakespeare in Love. And Tom, Adam, and I have not discussed at all, really, in detail what's going to come.
1998.
I'm looking forward to some fireworks. Kieran can probably attest. 20. Kieran can probably attest that 2010. I don't think turned out the way any of us expected to be honest.
No, it was good. It was good. So you just have the one in the can right now. This is the only one you've recorded so far?
Yep, just the one. And then we're gonna have a recording the same day we do our first episode going live next week. Yep.
So, oh, you've announced a release date?
Yeah, January 5th.
January 5th. Okay.
Right. Yep, we're going to have the episode go up. And then about a week later, we're going to throw up all the social media polls. It's obviously going to be up to the fans to vote on what goes into the almanac each year.
Then now, we'll is be this doing YouTube a... reaction video? Is this you enlisting more of my time for this? Is this... am I coming back to this?
We haven't gone that far, but that might be part of it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Only if you're game. I know you're a busy man.
I work for minimum wage, which below minimum wage. I actually work for nothing. I'm not above it or beyond it. But yes, I will be in on that. But I just like to know these things, you know.
Well, I'm just going to hang out here for the next like 30 minutes. And if anyone wants to stick around. Shoot the shit. Feel free to.
I thought after the 90-minute mark, you panic and disappear.
No, that's little Adam.
I've been running a timer, but we just got it in.
Okay, that's you. The stopwatch is still going. Okay.
Yes, yes. That's a.
Oh, he talked for 2 minutes.
I got a question. Shut up, jackass!
What a great rib.
Play him off.
Let's open the
play him off. Yeah, I mean, that's the greatest rib of them all, that he convinced Corns that he'd be here. RDB this whole time has just been an AI app, Adam. I didn't realize this. Like, he doesn't actually exist.
It was ChatGPT. That was basically it.
I am terrified of that recording episode.
It's going down.
I'm sure the prep will be thorough.
Have a backup post.
I appreciate all the help Kieran got for getting Artie to come on to Rewind to do Speed 2. I needed every stitch of that help.
Yep. I made it happen, though. I made it happen. It was too perfect. It had, and it's a great episode, but it might be one of the best.
What year did Artie choose?
2005 with Crash.
Oh, jeez. All right.
I'm deep in the throes of research for Grant's episode for 2011, which is The Artist, and we don't have to obviously talk about that right now. But
when are we recording that?
We're planning on recording that end of March.
Oh, okay, great. I got.
I'm like 3 or 4 months ahead on research.
So I have until I've seen Patty's Day to start research. Yeah, great.
Right.
That's not
a
bad
game. Him a heart attack.
Yeah, I should probably watch
his Apple Watch is calling 911.
I feel like that's a year where every movie's 90 minutes except for War Horse.
Oh my God. I haven't gotten around to that one yet. It just kind of sits on the shelf.
Adam, for just some help, that one would be like an 8 seed. Just letting you know.
War Horse? Warriors has got it. Warriors is NIT, man. That's going straight to the NIT.
It's not 1941, man.
That's Token. I guess we got to nominate this. It's Spielberg.
Yeah, that's up in the garden.
NIT is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Committee.
As you should.
I stand with the committee, Adam. Little Adam. I stand with the committee.
Once I was going to kick your ass.
Hornswoggle's like, oh, no. Just own it.
You could get a cameo. You could get a cameo of like go to the cameo app get Hornswoggle and like tell Joey off and say, you know, that's what you should be your next.
That would be way better than Frankenbiting Grant out of context.
Show up for a whole episode. I mean, what's Hornswoggle doing right now?
Let me check if he's on cameo. Hold on.
What the hell is cameo?
And he's probably on cameo. You're probably like a $20 cameo.
It's an app where you can get a celebrity to like cut like a promo on someone
for like 3 minutes.
It never ceases to amaze me. You're the youngest person I know, and you don't get technology.
Yeah, well, I had to explain to him what a Plex server was last night.
I know what I know, and I'm never the next 70 years of my life. That's it. That's it.
Like, he is by far the oldest spirit on this podcast.
You're the resident TikToker.
Even I
here.
Know Cameo, and I'm older than dirt.
Well, and little me. Adam just... loves it that you're the obsessive TikTok viewer, and he has never signed up for TikTok.
TikTok's great. You just have to make sure you get it to the point where you get all rid of all this stupid shit. You know, there's some good content on there. There's a guy that, like, makes cocktails. There's guy, you know. I mean, there's some good stuff. Sure. You just got to, you know, sort through it. So, yeah, it's great.
If you spend an entire Saturday working on it like he does, I'm sure there's great content.
Oh, it's not an entire
Adam's
Saturday.
Email is still AOL.com.
It's, you know, a couple hours, but yeah.
Hornswoggle is on Cameo, and for $49 you can have him tell off Joey and his list. So there you go, Adam.
Well worth every penny.
I'd chip in.
One of the regrets I had was $500 and you could have 20 minutes talking one-on-one with John Cleese on Cameo. I really wanted to do it, and I didn't. I wish I would have, though.
Talk about dating yourself.
Why?
Because John Cleese is older than Clint Eastwood.
Python is timeless.
No.
Is he coming to that room to, like, hit you? What's happening?
No, we're at complete opposite ends of the building. It would take him 5 or 10 minutes.
There he is, he has a steel chair behind him.
Just coming in out of nowhere.
5 to 10 minutes. Amazing. Adam, please get Hornswoggle, because that'd be way funnier.
You need to know now. You don't search Hornswoggle
horn?
Because he's just
he
Swoggle
the horn?
These
happened?
Days, apparently. Because I guess Vince McMahon owns the... Vince McMahon owns the copyrights. So he's Swoggle. It would be pretty fun watching him rip Joey apart, though. I'll tell you that.
I'll set up a GoFundMe.
A $49 GoFundMe? I'll give you both $49 to not do that.